We read from the Word of God as we find it in Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Our text is the rather familiar prayer that's found in the last part of verse 8 and in verse 9 of this chapter. Proverbs chapter 30. The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy. The man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ucal. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended, who hath gathered the wind in his fists, who hath bound the waters in a garment, who hath established all the ends of the earth. What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove from me, far from me, vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, "Who is the Lord?" Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, "Give, give." There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, "It is enough." The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, "It is enough." The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, "I have done no wickedness." For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear, for a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat, for an odious woman when she is married, and an handmaid that is heir to her mistress. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. A lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. A greyhound, an he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. May God apply the words that we read from His holy word. The text is in that prayer, the second thing that he requires of the Lord, 8b and 9. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. This familiar and yet very important prayer that Agag sets before us implies a great deal of dependency, consciousness of our dependence upon God, now with an emphasis on the physical. We need Him to provide for our basic earthly physical needs. And this prayer is based on a very honest understanding of ourselves. There's ditches on both sides. And we're aware of how easily we can fall into the ditch of too much or the ditch of what we would call not enough. And Agur expresses that for us. There's a danger on each side. And wherever God has put us, and whichever side, we have to see that that's where He put us, and we have to see what we can do and what we must be aware of concerning ourselves and the dangers that are right there at the door of our own mind and heart. He tells us how to pray, or what we should pray, and that's found in that expression, feed me with food convenient for me. And that's what we want to consider first. Feed me with food convenient for me. Now, food, that's easily understood. And it's the same meaning that Jesus had in that petition of the Lord's Prayer, the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. Bread, food, that's the idea. That's what's referenced. Food is especially essential for us because it provides us with so much that gives us the energy, the strength, the ability to perform our work. But in speaking of bread in the prayer and food here, the idea includes all the things that we need to live a life in this world. In other words, we need clothing. There's an amount of shelter that we need to be able to live, especially in this climate. There's a need for fellowship because of the kind of creatures we are. There's basic needs that we have that is included in the request, food. So it's not just what we eat, it's all the things that we need for our life in this world. Now the word convenient is a word that, well, it's not a word that we would use in this kind of an expression. The word convenient literally speaks of that which has been allotted to me. It's a portion that has been measured out. And the implication is, God did the allotting. God did the proportioning. Now there's another implication because of the additional words, for me. What a day-old infant needs is going to be different than what an 18-year-old young man needs. Now we're talking about needs. We're putting that word into the scene. But everything, everybody is different. A male versus a female. A mother that's with child over against a woman who's not with child. One who is aged and experiencing increased infirmities of the flesh. Their needs are different. Now the word convenient doesn't so much speak of needs as that which has been proportioned out to me, allotted to me. Now, that clearly implies somebody else is doing the proportioning and the allotting. We're recognizing that, and now Jesus' fourth petition does that very clearly, give us this, give, Father, our Father who art in heaven, thou art the source of the allotting. Thou dost set and determine how much is given to each one of us. Not according maybe to what we need, but we've been given that. We may set before Him a request, but the key, the emphasis is that there's an allotment that's given. And as soon as we say that, we're going to say, it's a gift. And if something is a gift, it is something that I have not earned. I'm not deserving of that which I've been given. And so to word it this way, give me, feed me with food convenient for me. To put it that way is that we're setting before Almighty God, Jesus, the fourth petition, our Father, that we lay ourselves, as it were, prostrate before Him, or we stand before Him with our arms open and they're empty. We have nothing. And there's a sense of great need and desperation. We're aware of our need. It's like Jack tomorrow morning. He's going to lay himself down on a bed and then transferred to a cart. And there he lays, wrapped up in a blanket. And he's going to give himself over to a surgeon who's going to cut his open and perform all the need that has to be done according to the thought of that surgeon. Feed me. Here I am. If I'm gifted with it, Lord, thou knowest. The implication, again, clear implication. God is the owner of all things. Of all things. All that you call yours. Your clothes, your shoes, your house, your car, your IQ. the situation that you have in your marriage or lack of marriage, the children or the lack of thereof, the kind of children, the job, the business, whether it's prosperous or not so prosperous. Lord, it's all thine. Here I am, empty-handed. If I'm allotted anything, may it be according to thy determination. I may think of my needs. Others may say what I should have. But I'm going to stand before thee, Father. And what do I deserve? And then every single one of us knows that the only answer to that is when we ask that holy Father, the only answer he can give is, you deserve hell. You deserve nothing. You have no right to anything. So whatever we call as our possessions, we're going to be reminded with this kind of a petition that it's not ours by our clever-mindedness, and it's not ours because of our hard work. God owns the stock market. God owns the economy. God owns the wages and the jobs. God owns health and safety. God owns industry. He controls the distribution of everything. And we are recognizing that. He gives to one, and he takes from another. It's like a game. Success, loss. Win, fail. One, another. He is the distributor of all of those things. And so now on prayer day, this is when we stop and we petition God with an emphasis in our minds on the physical and the material needs. So it's as if we're going to go forth and sow our seeds. And just as the farmer sows his seed with care and diligence, he prepares the soil. And then Mark 4 says, where Jesus says, he sows it and he backs away. He cannot make a single one of those grains sprout. He cannot determine for it how much sun and warmth and rain it's going to get. Now think of that in those days. Now we can irrigate. Now we can fertilize. But then they didn't have that. They waited. Completely dependent upon the Lord in every sense. So God wants us in that kind of a mindset. That kind of a perspective, I am dependent upon God for the food. Now, it's almost, I sat down at the table tonight with what Sue had prepared, and there's just about always leftovers. And it's not just, what I saw in India for some, just rice. There's meat. For the poverty in India, there's no meat. Maybe a scrawny chicken that they cut up, but that's it. We're given so much. And we must always live in this consciousness. I didn't do much to earn this. I didn't do anything. This is what God has allotted to me. So we're praying, feed me according to thy will. give me the portion that thou, Lord, hast determined to be given to me. That will be great. That will be good. But thou dost allot. What God gives is the best. Right? Oh, we're in church. Right. But that's not always the way we think. That's not always what we say. So Egor may say that he's a brutish man and does not have understanding, but at the same time, in the wisdom that God gave to him, he knows that there's ditches. And so he says, on the one hand, don't give me riches. Don't give me riches. That is so contrary to human nature. I want success. I want all wins. I want more. The danger of that can be seen in this interesting verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Gold. Nor he that loveth abundance with increase. Now this is Ecclesiastes, so he ends, this is also vanity. In 1 Timothy 6, the more familiar words, they that will be rich, and there the word will is those that want to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is, now here's the literal reading, a root of all. The love of money, the love of riches, the love of more, is a root of all the evils. Which, while some coveted after, they have erred even from the faith. And now listen to this. Pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Riches have their dangers. And now, if we think we're rich, don't forget that to be rich is to be able to skip a meal and not faint. To be able to give away a pair of shoes and not be barefoot. And now I think, how many shoes in the closet that Sue and I have? We're rich. Give away a shirt and still not be unclothed. There's a robe, all the colors of the rainbow. Agur's wisdom knows this, that it is so easy for us to forget God, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is Jehovah? Now, we're all smart enough to know we would never say that. But that's not the point. The point is, do we go through life? Do we go through days and not think of how He has to supply our need? Look at the refrigerators. Look at the freezers. Look at the cupboards. Look at what I don't need, but sure is nice to have with a meal. We go in abundance. And then if my arms are empty and I lay them before God, and then I look at what we have, even the poorest among us. And again, it doesn't matter how much you got or don't have. It's whether you go through that day without thinking, I need Jehovah. I need His blessing. I need His faithfulness. I need His care. I need Him. Health. When do we thank God for our health? Well, we do it after we recover. Because when we were sick, that's when we cried for help. I mean, again, Jack's situation makes us all aware that there's a need for constant dependence upon God for him. But what about the rest of us? Tonight, tomorrow, the ability to walk, the ability to see, the ability to hear, the ability to feel, the privilege of being loved by God. And what do I deserve from Him? Our natures are so twisted that so often the more that we receive, the less we give proportionately. So quickly boast about the success of our business, the success of our work, the skill of our hand. I've told you this before. Some of the catechumens, in competing with each other, they got a right answer, and they kind of glance at each other, and there's the fist pump. We were gifted with an answer. We were gifted with that ability. We don't have it in ourselves. And we forget that God is the God who gave the acreage and the crops and the price. So it's for our spiritual good that we even add, don't give me riches. Don't give me too much success. Can you pray that? Can I pray that? And the other ditch is that of poverty. And then I think about Him, but I'm critical of what He's not given. Critical that His allotment to me is not what I want. It's not enough in my judgment. So I'm ready to complain, to be critical of God. Poverty brings me to that point where, as He says, to complain against Him is to curse Him. And then the tendency to think, well, I've got to provide for my family, so if I can walk out of the store with something in my pocket, it's justified. Got to feed my family. We steal. So again, it's easier for us to say, yeah, I can say, don't give me poverty. But I'm not sure I want to say, don't give me riches. But again, when we're looking to Him for that which He has allotted to us today, then I'm going to have to add, don't give me riches and don't give me poverty. Those are scary ditches to my spiritual walk, for my spiritual faith to be proper. Now, what's the spiritual attitudes that we need? Well, that's probably already very, very obvious. We're looking up at an ever holy God whom we recognize to be filled with wisdom. He's the one who distributes all, and He distributes it all in the greatest wisdom. He's the God who's never made a mistake. He's the God that we say at the beginning of every service, our help is in the name of Jehovah who made heaven and earth, and that ability to create all of the heavens and the earth displays and evidences tremendous power and the greatest wisdom. And so to pray this prayer is to put your head down and to bow. Give me humility. Give me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And I need that not just when I have sinned, that's when we read of it the most frequently in Scripture, not just when I've done something wrong and I need to repent. Give me a broken heart and a contrite spirit for everything, so that whatever I can do, I look up and thank. Whatever I have, I look up and thank. Much or little. And it's not my telling God what I need. We must realize that the right way is just what He's planned to give us. That's the best way, because it's His way. Second, submit, humble. Second, love Him. If we don't consciously see why He is worthy of our love, then we're not going to get this right. The right word order in the Greek of that familiar verse, Romans 8:28, is, I don't feel, but I know, we know, to them that love Him. Or another way, we know in the way of loving Him that all things work together for the good of them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow them, He did predestinate to be conformed unto the image of His Son. God, in allotting to me whatever He has gifted to me, is the God who is at work with a potter's hand, molding, shaping me, so that I will learn to respond to riches, to poverty, to that which is allotted to me with the same manner in which Jesus received it from His Heavenly Father. God wants me to look and act and think more and more like His Son. And the more and more I look like His Son and think and act like, the more it's evident to others that I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. That's the best identity we ever have. That's the way to esteem, not self, God, because He has made you His child. And He's working in the course of our lives, shaping us in every allotment, much, little, everything, to that image of His Son. Humility, love. Third, we are confessing that we need God's blessing to be faithful so that we use whatever He gives correctly. If and when God is pleased to give much, then we thank Him for it, and we immediately ask for the grace to use it for His glory, and that we never stop realizing that if I have His love, and that's what's going to generate love for Him, His love for you, that if I have His love, I have enough. If He is pleased to give much, thank Him and immediately ask of Him for the grace, the Spirit and the grace to use it for His glory, realizing that if I have His love with it, I have everything. I'll go to the next one. And if He gives me little, I still will thank Him for that and ask Him for the ability not to complain or to be bitter or to criticize His distribution, and to realize that if I have His undeserved love, I have enough. It's sufficient to receive every second of my life a love I don't deserve. So we ask ourselves again, you want to pray this? Don't give me riches. Don't give me poverty. Give me Your determined allotment. That's all. So I may see in the much or the little that which God gives as an opportunity for me to communicate with Him, my Heavenly Father, so that my fellowship, my experience of His fellowship with me and mine with Him, I will glorify Him in whatever condition, in whatever state. If I am materially rich, may I be poor in spirit. If I am materially poor, may I know how rich I am in grace. Last thought. Pray for an eye that's single. Up. Give me Your determined allotment. Feed me with food convenient for me. And His answer, all the time, I will. I've got it all planned. It's perfect. Amen. Father, we thank Thee again. Just to address Thee that way is such a tremendously powerful reminder that we are so privileged, so rich in grace, so blessed, and all undeservedly so. Thanks be to Thee. May we never stop thanking Thee, even as we beseech Thee at this time of the year, that Thou art the God who's in control, and we're not. For Jesus' sake, amen.